You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, winner of the ShareCare Emmy Award for Social Storytelling and the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie. And today, before we get started, I'm going to ask a favor of you. If you could do me a favor, go to the link in the show notes here. And in the link in the show notes is a listener survey so that we can get feedback about the show, about the episodes, about the network, not just this one, but other ones. And it's going to take about five, if you're a slow reader like me, 6 minutes to provide the feedback. And if you could do that, that's really helpful. And we're going to be incentivizing it a little bit. You get it entered in with several chances to win for the people that sign up for an Amazon gift card worth $100. So if you can go in to check that link in the show notes, fill out the survey. Thank you. I would appreciate it. Now let's get on to the show, because today we're going to continue talking about what we've been talking about, which is the NASM OPT model. As we continue with the review, we're doing a review of the model. It's the anchor of NASM. It is the periodization programming and concept and the system and the progression of what we do when we work with people and schedule their workouts. So with that being said, we're moving on to the strength endurance phase two. And remember, there are five phases, there are three levels. So there's stabilization, strength, and power. So we're now moving into the strength level in this conversation. So first of all, I want to point out that I get a lot of people, they ask the question, where do I start people when I train, or do I always have to start them in stabilization? Really, the answer is no, but it is recommended. So what I tend to do, if I get pushback from people that are like, I don't want to do the higher repetitions, or, I have certain types of exercises I like to do, we want people to do that. In fact, we have the trainers give the clients options for exercises that they want to perform, because we want them to have a participatory piece of writing their programs and submitting their programs and being a part of it, as opposed to simply being dictated to. So this might happen. However, I always like to get the stabilization work in, and if they want to go right to the hypertrophy training, this is a great way to meet in the middle. And one of the ways I do that is through an example where I had a guy that was like, I don't want to do all that stuff. I see you doing push-ups on a BOSU ball, or you're standing on a single leg doing things. And, you know, I just want to lift. And I was like, I'm with you. I get it. I think that that's cool. But let's meet in the middle here somewhere. And why don't you pick the lift that you want to do, and then I pick the lift that we do after. And the guy was like, yeah, sure. So he, of course, picked bench press. So no problem, happy to do it. So what we did is that I just superset it with push-ups. And that sounded totally reasonable, because that is a normal kind of strength superset, except one of those, based on the NASM protocols, is a standard strength training exercise. And the other one can be a stability exercise and potentially an endurance exercise, depending on how many reps you can do. So I had the guy pick the bench press, but I said, just know we're going to do this a little bit slower than you normally do. So we're going to slow it down a little bit, 2 seconds on the way down, 2 seconds on the way up. It'll take about 4 seconds. If you get 10 repetitions, it's going to take about 40 seconds to do, as opposed to just banging out 10. So we put, you know, instead of 45s, maybe we put 35s on, and had him do 10 repetitions. And then we went into the push-ups, and we did the push-ups nice, again, very slow, very controlled. And he was only able to get like 2 or 3 repetitions with the push-ups. And then I said, okay, no, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep getting repetitions. So take your hands, and I want you to put it on the bench that we just did bench press off of. And we're going to keep doing them we're going to keep doing them. So he kept doing the bench press until he got about three more repetitions, and he couldn't do any more repetitions there. And then we straddled the bench and put the hands on the bar that he was doing bench press with and finished out the five additional repetitions or whatever it was in order to get the 10 reps. And I said, man, that was great. Now break for 60 seconds and we do it again. And he was like, whoa, that's a lot. And I was like, yeah, that's what this training is. And he was like, okay. And what that actually did for me was to work with somebody to allow them to buy in to what my goal is for them when it comes to stabilization and endurance and the strength that they want to gain. And a lot of times people get really concerned because they were like, well, I want to maybe build muscle. And I'm like, well, you can build muscle doing endurance training. So this is still a good way to build muscle. It certainly increases the amount of volume that you're doing, but you're also getting the stabilization component. You're still getting the endurance component. So let's talk about the strength level as we go from the stabilization level of the OPT model moving into the strength level. And then, of course, there's strength into power. Anytime you leave one and go into the other one, the phase that you go into will be a superset. So when you leave stability and go into strength, that first phase in the strength level is going to be a superset. When you leave strength and go into the power phase, that first phase in the power, which in our current model is the only phase, is a superset. So let's talk about the strength level. What's our goal here? Well, the goal is to develop strength. But when we develop strength, it's kind of like a pendulum. We've been focusing on stability and endurance. What we don't want to do is focus on strength and lose the stability and endurance. So what we do here is we try to maintain our stabilization, our endurance, while still now focusing more on a few things. One, the ability of the core to stabilize the pelvis and the spine with heavier loads with greater ranges of motion. This is, by the way, if you want to follow along, I'm just pulling some information from page 700. I got a lot of feedback over the last few days as we've been going through the OPT model. And one of the things that people said is, thank you so much for pointing out in the textbook what you're talking about so I can go into the textbook and look at it with you. So at the top of page 700, it goes through a list of some of the things that we're trying to get out of the strength level. So I figure, you know, I'll tell you about it and you can join me if you want to. Increase the load-bearing capacities or capabilities of muscles, tendons, ligaments, and joints. Strength level allows us to increase the volume of training. It allows us to increase the metabolic demand by taxing more of the phosphocreatine, the ATP-PC, and the glycolytic energy system. So it helps to induce some cellular changes within the muscle. And then the last one that it has in the list here, increase recruitment of motor units to overcome an external load. We're starting to build more strength, right? So as we're working through this, that's kind of the goal of the strength level, but there are three phases in the strength level. Today, right now, we're going to be talking about only strength endurance training. Strength endurance training, this kind of hybrid that we went into where we do a strength training exercise and then we superset it with a stability exercise. And I remember talking to the people as they were developing or had developed the OPT model. They said, well, maybe you do the stabilization endurance first and then you do the strength. But the truth of the matter is that the gas in the tank runs out. So they do the strength training first and then they lighten the weight, they slow the movement down, and then they can get additional repetitions with that stabilization and endurance training. I think that's really important to point out because as we always work with our clients to help support them in their goals, we have to pay attention to what their goals, their needs are, what they're trying to do, but we also have to look out for things that they're not trying to do, but their body still needs it. Their body still benefits from it. This is that, you know, give them what they need packaged in what they want. That's what I did for the guy when he said, let's do bench press. And we did the bench press, but we also did the stabilization endurance stuff and add it to his strength. So we did strength endurance training. So the variables are going to be pretty similar. What I want to do is I want us to turn to the, if you're with me, I want you to turn so that you understand a little bit about the superset. The superset, there's a chart on page 703, table 2110, and it's examples of phase two supersets. Now, I gave the example of the bench press and the push-up. Well, that's actually the example they have here in the textbook. What you do is you do an exercise, a traditional strength training exercise, and then you superset it with a biomechanically similar stabilization endurance exercise. So there is a machine chest press, and then the superset was now go to a cable machine, stand on a single leg, and do a cable chest press. Now, I think you could probably just do a cable chest press, and that might be a stabilization endurance, because that's hard. You got to really engage your core with that. There's a lat pull down machine, but then you can stand to do a lat pull down. If anybody's ever done lat pull downs or even pull ups, and you haven't done them in a while, standing or the pull ups when you do it, my abs can get really sore if I haven't done pull ups in a long time. Or if you stand and you do a lat pull down, you really feel your abs engage in that. Machine shoulder chest press, and then you could do standing bottoms up kettlebell presses. These are great stabilization endurance exercises that follow a traditional strength training exercise. Barbell squat, single leg squat. I had my client Stuart do that the other day, where we did barbell squats, we did single leg squats, and then I added a little extra endurance. Don't tell NASM I did more. Then I also had them do a single leg RDL at the same time. So the superset, I've been training this guy for years. So we get to play with the model and engage in different ways. And then we did squats again. And then we did the single leg squat and the single leg RDL on the other leg the following time. Romanian deadlift, single leg Romanian deadlifts. Machine calf raise, single leg calf raise. Single leg calf raises are actually pretty hard. So those are the examples of what the supersets might look like. And if you go to page 705, table 2111, it gives you an example of a phase two strength endurance training. Now there's the warm-up, the activation, skill development, client's choice. But what we're really looking at right here, because now we're talking about resistance training. We've already talked about core, balance, reactive, speed, agility, and quickness, flexibility. Now we're talking about resistance training. That's why we're really getting into the OPT model. Our set range is 2 to 4. Repetition range for both strength and endurance are 8 to 12 repetitions. And you're going to do this at a moderate tempo when you're doing the strength training, that 2-0-2, and then you're going to go a slower tempo, like a 3-2-1 tempo, when you do the stability work. 0 to 60 seconds of rest after each superset. And again, we talked about this. 0 seconds after a superset just means you didn't rest and you're doing a superset. Well, sort of true, but what you're doing is a circuit. So if you did a chest press followed by a push-up, then you might do a PHA and flip it into doing a lower body. And then we move to an upper body and then we go to a lower body. So peripheral hard action. So now you're doing the squat and then a single leg squat. So a barbell squat, superset it with single leg squat, right leg, single leg squats, left leg. And then you can take a 60 second break. All right, what's our intensity? 8 to 12 repetitions. And you're going to do 1 to 2 supersets for each body part. A lot of times, especially if you're pretty new, then I will do total body exercises. And so if you have somebody new and you do a superset, even if they've gone through the stabilization level and that first phase in the OPT model, the stabilization endurance, when you start adding this volume in and you're doing like a split routine, that might be a lot for somebody to do. Remember, soreness isn't an indication that you got a good workout. It's just an indication that you did too much in said workout. So if you're really, really sore, your clients are really, really sore, and it keeps them from being more active in the day following, or it keeps them being able to produce less the second or the third time in a week that they see you, you got to back off of that intensity. And remember, the recovery from the workout is the benefit you get from the workout. So make sure that they are getting good recovery. They're getting good sleep. You're talking to them about their protein intake and that their nutrition is on point too. All right. So we got that. And then in the notes after the resistance training, superset is a strength focused exercise at a moderate tempo with a stability focused exercise at a slow tempo. This is really the next level where you're making the stabilization endurance harder by doing a strength exercise, superset it with a stabilization endurance exercise, 8 to 12 repetitions. This for me is a fun type workout to get people to do. It's an easy figure for what you're trying to get people to do. If you're working with somebody and you're like, all right, what do I do? And you're trying to figure out the programming, this just comes so quickly because all you have to do is create a superset, and that superset could be a bunch of things. You could be doing a dumbbell chest press, and then to create a stabilization version of that, you do a lighter single arm dumbbell fly. And that is really engaging the core, which is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get that lumbopelvic hip complex to engage, build up our endurance, which is both globally with our core, with our core, and then our global muscles, where we're getting more endurance out of, let's say, our chest in that particular exercise. It's fun to play with. It's fun to do. It is challenging for your clients, and nothing delights trainers more than watching your clients be challenged. So with that being said, if you have not done this type of training, if you got your NASM certification already and you said, great, now I went through all that stuff, now let me just train people the way I want to train them because I'm certified, and you haven't done this level or this phase of the NASM OPT model, reevaluate, go back, check it out, do it to yourself because you deserve it, and then engage some of your clients that you think it would be good for. Give them this type of workout. You won't regret it. Your clients may not be delighted at first, but they'll really appreciate the benefits, the outcome, and the metabolic intensity, the caloric expenditure that goes along with it. I told my client, Stuart, that I was working with the other day, I said, Stuart, we don't have to do cardio today. I said, you're doing cardio just by the amount of volume that you're getting in. Your heart doesn't know that squats aren't cardio. Your heart doesn't know that the superset between the bench press and then going into pushups, it doesn't know that that's not cardio. So it is cardio. It's just not that style that we're so used to seeing. I didn't get on a bike. I didn't get on a ski erg. I didn't get on a rower, but you will increase your cardio. One of the posts I did on Instagram probably a year or two ago, maybe longer, who knows? But it says my favorite type of cardio is resistance training. And got a lot of feedback on that because people were like, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Well, this is a good level where you would be able to get those type of outcomes. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, share with your fitness friends and family. If you got questions for me, hit me up. You can hit me up on Instagram and threads at dr.rickritchie or email me at rick.ritchie@nasm.org. Thanks for listening. Y'all keep inspiring people to fitness. This has been the NASM CPT Podcast.